We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Simon, and we've got a show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we're going to be talking with the representative from the Israel Consul in Chicago, serving the Midwest, Mr. Moran Bierman. We're going to be talking about what Israel's doing with the corona. It's doing pretty interesting things, and things are happening over there, and it'll be interesting to talk about. In the second half of the show, we will be featuring some brand new poetry with the Jewish Hour Poet Laureate, Mr. Michael Druck. We've got some a cappella music throughout the show. The portion of the week is the portion of Behar Behukosai, which is found in chapter 30 and following, to the end of the book. We're ending Leviticus this week, starting Numbers next week. We have a great Hasidic story all the way at the end. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Undercover border police arrested three 16-year-old Arabs who threw Molotov cocktails at a home occupied by Jewish families in East Jerusalem. The three were charged with terrorism. Undercover border police in the Shu'afat refugee camp came under attack when they went to arrest a suspected terrorist. Five terrorists were arrested. Terrorists from Gaza fired a rocket into southern Israel. There were no injuries or damage. IDF tanks retaliated with attacks on three Hamas military posts in northern Gaza. Iran is reducing its forces in Syria and clearing its bases for the first time since it entered Syria. Israel is expected to continue bombing Iranian targets until Iran leaves Syria. Israel is slowly easing restrictions. Public libraries, hotels, zoos, safaris, nature reserves, national parks, and the Western Wall Plaza are open. But this Monday night is Lag BaOmer, and there's a tradition of having public bonfires. Public bonfires are prohibited. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo will travel to Israel for a one-day visit with Prime Minister Netanyahu and Prime Minister-designate Benny Gantz in what would be the first visit by a senior foreign official to Israel since it closed its borders because of coronavirus. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Hey, Michigan. The census is only 9 questions and takes about 10 minutes. And money for your kids' school lunches and food assistance relies pretty heavily on your participation. It's easy. So fill out the census this spring and count everyone in your home. When everyone counts, everyone wins. To learn more, please visit myvoicecounts.org. That's mivoicecounts.org.
Meyer Schulterman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Let's get things up and running a little bit. This is brand new. This is Avraham Fried. The song is called Anenu.
Shiyana li Avraham Hu yaneinu Mishiyana li Yitzchok Hu yaneinu Mishiyana li Yaakov Hu yaneinu Mishiyana lavoyseinu Hu yaneinu
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. I think we got time for another piece of music. Let's listen up. This is Uri Davidi. Muhanim is the name of the song. We played this once a while back. This is the a cappella version, and it means we're prepared to greet Mashiach.
מתפללים מבקשים מן השמיים שאני אעבור רק צריך להאמין ולפתוח עיניים כי אני כבר פה עוד מצווה אחת קטנה תפיליים לפתוח ויבוא הקץ זה לקח אלפי שנה הנה זה כבר בטוח תנו להיכנס ולא לא לא יהיו יותר דמעות רק תראו ניסים ונפלאות כי אני בא עברתי כל הדרך אני בא אני עומד בדלת ואני שואל האם אתם היום מוכנים מוכנים לקבל אותי כי אני בא הגאולה הגיעה הנה זה בא זה מלך המשיח נביטה השמיימה השמחה גדולה לושים בגדי שבת ועולים ירושלימה זמן הגאולה מי יוצא לרחובות למה ישנים עדיין כבר חיכיתם די יש בשורות טובות ישועות כהרף עין עם ישראל חי ולא לא לא יהיו יותר דמעות רק תראו ניסים ונפלאות כי אני בא עברתי כל הדרך אני בא אני עומד בדלת ואני שואל האם אתם היום מוכנים מוכנים לקבל אותי כי אני בא הגאולה הגיעה הנה זה בא זה מלך המשיח
joining the fight against coronavirus, offering free direct telemedicine services to Oakland County residents who test positive for coronavirus and are homebound. We are on a mission to intervene with supportive care to diminish your risk of hospitalization. If you know anyone that could benefit from these services, please call 248-624-9800 immediately.
I'm here, you're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have a PSA for you. It is clearly dangerous for older or immunocompromised community to be out. The Detroit Community Helpline is there for people if you need any assistance, including food or medical medication pickup or non-emergency medical questions. You can call 248-744-4357. Again, it's 248-744-4357. Or you can reach them online at DetroitCommunityHelpline.com. Don't be afraid. Just do it today if you need it. We are on live with the representative from the Israel's Council to Serving the Midwest in Chicago, Mr. Moran Bierman. And we're talking about what Israel's done with the coronavirus and COVID-19. How are you today, Moran?
Good, good, Herschel Finman. How are you? Good to be again on your show.
Baruch Hashem, thank God. How's your health and the health of your family and the health of everybody at the council in Chicago?
Well, we are all doing well, working mainly from home. The consulate is still open, obviously, but we are trying to keep it safe and to make everything work as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Just as an aside, this wasn't what I was going to talk about, but what consul services are still being offered to the public at large?
So we are working the consular section at emergency mode, meaning we only take care of emergency situations and things that can't be done through mail. So, for example, if someone has to go to Israel for emergency and they need a passport, they can come. But unlike in the past, people who want to come have to get an approval from the consul. So this is how it works now. You don't just come after you schedule an appointment. You have to explain why it's an emergency, and then we'll talk to you. So definitely we give these services still, but just to emergency situations.
What about like the Israel-American trade services? Have those been curtailed?
Yeah. Those are still there. So the work that we do at the consulate, we are doing everything. We are not physically at the office every day like we used to, and obviously we don't have meetings or events like we had, but all of our contacts in the political world, economic and trade, academics, Jewish communities, etc., we are working with them, we are talking to them, just not at the consulate. So we are open and working. Just, you know, I think like in every other place, it's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now let's talk about the matters at hand. I want to talk about Corona and maybe some other things if we have time. 25 years ago when I started the show, so unfortunately there were a series of suicide bombings, and I would report them and I would put it into perspective that if 23 people were killed in a bombing in a pizza parlor in Jerusalem, that would be like, or similar to, 3,000 people being killed in New York City, that type of a thing. So I was thinking, well, I would do such a thing like that with the coronavirus, but then it occurred to me, having reported last week, that the population of Israel is now pretty much equal to the population of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's a little over 9 million for both of them. But the number of corona cases in Israel was perpetrated a little over 16,000, with 245 deaths as of Friday, May the 7th. In Michigan, it's 45,000 and 4,500 deaths, same amount of population. So I'm wondering then now, I don't want to extrapolate, I'm going to do it one for one. What is Israel done right that maybe Michigan didn't do?
So for Israel, I think that the number one thing that we did and that was right is just to act fast. We were one of the first countries to close its borders for non-citizens or non-Israelis. And when we did it, I remember even here at the consulate, I heard from some of my contacts that this is not the right decision, and it will prevent tourists from getting to Israel even in the future, and business people, and it will hurt Israel's connections with other countries. But we did it, and we did it quickly. And I think it proved to be the right decision. Obviously, different in Israel and in a state like Michigan or U.S. states, because people can drive to Michigan from Illinois or from Indiana or from, you know, and you can't stop them. Israel, most of our neighbors, you can't really drive just to Israel. Or in other words, we have borders, and Michigan doesn't really have borders. So it's different, but we acted fast. So we started by closing the borders, and we also started with the lockdown, so to speak, very quickly. And again, many people in Israel, and I know now in Michigan there are many protests and people protesting against the lockdown, because unfortunately this is something that affects the economy and affects people very, very severely. But there's no other way of fighting it. So we had a lockdown. We had something that has not been done here, as far as I know, which is the 100 meters limit. People could only go out 100 meters from where they live, which is about 300 feet. So that's very, very severe. People could not go out to jog or just to walk or do whatever if it's more than 100 meters from where they live. But eventually, I think it proved to be the right thing to do. And as you said, it's not only that we have relatively low number of corona cases, we are also now in the process of reopening Israel and changing the lockdown, not completely. It will be a very long process, but we started last week. Some of the schools are reopening, shops and malls are slowly reopening, not all of them, but some of them. And we are starting to get back to normal. Because we acted fast, now we are fast, or we are quicker to get back to normal.
Okay, so let's compare that then with, if you're just joining us, our guest today is Moran Berman from the Israel Consulate. We're talking about corona in Israel. I was actually talking with somebody on Purim, which was exactly 2 months ago, and he was in New York, and New York was already, at that point, was just starting to snowball. And I said, we don't have any cases of corona in Michigan. That night, Purim night, there were 2 cases of corona reported exactly in the county, just in suburban Detroit where we live. And that day, the next day, the governor shut down the entire state and was called all kinds of names. And yet, even with that shutdown, it just took off. So it maybe there's something more to it, because it would seem like if there was 2 and then in a month there was already 3,000 or 10,000, whatever it was. Actually, in a week there were 10,000 cases. That's what happened. It went from 2 to 10,000 in a week. Maybe there was something else that was going on besides just closing the borders, Moran.
What do you think?
I don't know, but it just seems like, were people in Israel taking it more serious than, say, in Michigan?
Well, people in Israel took it very seriously. Again, I think that it's very hard for people. You know, some of them lost their jobs, or some of them could not get paid because they couldn't get to work, obviously. And the schools were closed, so they stayed at home for weeks with the children. So it was very hard for them. But I think they took it very seriously. Even though it's a very hard thing, they understood that this is the only way of fighting it. I want to refer to what you mentioned, that the thing with the coronavirus is you have 2 cases that you know of. That doesn't mean you have 500 other ones without symptoms that, you know, are out there. And then only 2 weeks later, you get to 10,000 because you didn't know that you have 500 people, because they didn't know, because they didn't have symptoms, and they can other people can catch it. So we have to do it, and I think all countries understood that there's only eventually. I know that the UK and Sweden and other countries try to go on a different path. I think they found out it was wrong, but yeah, definitely the people of Israel were listening to the recommendations and to the limitations, and I have to say, not all of them listened. We had the police actually giving reports and 5,000 shekels fines for people who did not listen. So, you know, it's not only that we have recommendation, it was actually according to law, and actually people got fined if they were more than 100 meters from where they live. But most people listen and did it eventually.
That's actually amazing, given the nature of the personality of Jews. Every Jew is smarter than every other Jew, and I know better than you do. Yeah. They actually listened. But, okay, is there something in Israel like a CARES Act like they had over here? You have people that lost jobs, people that didn't have jobs. You had institutions that, like, for example, the schools that were still doing online things, but money wasn't coming in. Was the government supporting people like they did it, like America is trying to do?
Yeah. In Israel, we are also trying to do that. The government supported people who lost their jobs. We have a different system, so that was easier for Israel. What was a little more complicated was supporting small business owners who lost their or closed their business or entirely, completely, or temporarily, and lost their income. So that took a little more time because it's harder to know how to pay them and to find them. So we built a system that they can apply online and prove that they lost their job and get the funds quickly. And obviously the schools, for example, had to continue their teaching the children. They did it online with Zoom, with other platforms. I know that we also had lots of technical difficulties at the beginning, but eventually we got to a point where we can do not all the work, you know, like I told you about the consulate. We can teach students and school children exactly what we would have if schools were open and universities, but we can do most of it. We can do the important things using Zoom and other platforms. It was a learning process, you know. I think Israelis and Jews are used to changes and adapting to changes quickly. So I think it was good. At the beginning, you're not used to it, and then very quickly you understand this is what you should do, and then you adapt quickly. So I think Israel is a good example for that. And eventually, some people even say that the children were better learning from home than going to school, and some people got to discover their families and to become closer to each other. So I think we should also look at the positive things that came out of this huge crisis.
I'll tell you a cute story. I have my youngest daughter is a school teacher in Brooklyn, and she's been teaching online. And she says she doesn't want to go back to the classroom because this way, if a kid starts acting up and making noise, she just hits mute. And the problem's over.
Yeah, you don't have mute when you're in the classroom. Yeah,
mute in the classroom. So anyway, so how now? Tell me the criteria. If you know, Israel is now in the process of easing up on the restrictions. The 100 meters is no longer in effect. The Kotel opened up this week. The Western Wall Plaza, national parks are open. Schools, I'm not exactly sure I understand. We reported last week, maybe I didn't get understand what the news was saying, but it said that first through third grade was open and 11th and 12th grade was open. So if you could maybe explain the logic of how Israel is beginning to ease up on its restrictions, Maron Bierman.
So we have to remember that it's not only children going back to school, it's also if the children are at home, the parents could not go back to work, and we can't restart the economy if the parents are at home taking care of the children. That's one side of the decision. The other side is we can't just open the school as we used to because we are still in a risk of infection and of spreading the virus. So we started with the youngest, which is first to third grade, and because these are the hardest to take care of, so to speak, and if they are at home, the parents can't absolutely do anything when they're at home. So we started with them and with the 11th and 12th grade because they have the finals, the Bagrut exams, the Israeli high school finals, and they have to finish it. They can't postpone it to next year because they won't be at school next year. So they have to finish it, and usually what they do in this time, by the way, the seniors in Israel, is only preparing for the finals. They're not really going to school anymore. They're only preparing for the finals, sometimes at school, sometimes at home, so it was also very easy. So they started with them, understanding that if someone has a 15 or a 13 year old, it's easier to either leave them at home all the time or some of the time or take care being taken care of by their brothers or sisters, and gradually we will continue with getting the rest of the children back to school. And of course, the schools are also changed. We don't have 30 students in a classroom as we used to. We try to get smaller classrooms, or to be more accurate, less students in a classroom. We don't have twice the teachers, right? So we just did smaller groups that don't meet each other. So if one class was 30 students, we now have two classes of 15. One is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and the other one is the rest of the days. They don't meet each other, so they won't affect or infect each other. And we took teachers from other classes to teach them, because now we don't have all the schools open. We have six grade teachers that can teach the other part of the third grade classroom. So basically, it's not that simple. It's not just going back to school. We had to rethink the whole system, but I think we were able to find the right path between getting back to normal and still being careful.
Mm-hmm. That's really amazing. Okay, our guest today is Maran Bierman from the Israel Consul serving the Midwest. We are talking about Corona and what Israel is doing about it. So Singapore opened up really quick, and then they had a second wave, and they had to shut back down again. I'm sure this is a big concern for Israel and its easing up on its restrictions, Maran.
Yeah, definitely. So we started opening up in the beginning of May, so about a week ago, and we are waiting to see if in about a week, you know, that the 14 days is what takes the virus to be active. So we'll see in about a week if we have a second wave. We might see a smaller second wave. And the government announced when they reopened that the fact that we are reopening or getting back to normal does not mean we can't go back if we'll see a second wave. So they already said that we might go back to the restrictions, but it will take about a week for us to see if the reopening has had these effects of you know, more people infected.
Okay, how the Palestinians in Gaza are very much dependent on supplies, medical supplies, food, etc., coming in through Israel. Has this pandemic affected the relationship and how stuff is being transported into Gaza?
So obviously we in Israel support the Palestinians in Gaza and the West Bank in their fighting with the virus, not only directly, but also there was a Turkish plane full of medical equipment and emergency equipment to Gaza, and we helped the equipment getting to Gaza. And by the way, the situation is in Gaza in terms of the coronavirus is relatively good. There is a very small number of people infected, and so many people were worried at first that will be very serious there, but eventually we see that the situation is good there. And obviously in Israel, we will do whatever it takes for emergency supplies to the Palestinians.
Okay. What about plans maybe for summer? Is there summer camps that have, they're already talking here in America that the summer camps are canceled and all summer programs are canceled. And we're talking maybe even canceling Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur already at this point. How's the future looking in Israel for such things, Maran Bierman?
So as you know, in Israel, we usually don't plan very much ahead. I think that's part of the Israeli. This is part of the Israeli culture, and this has to do with the Israeli and Jewish history. So it's not only a joke; it's actually in Israel. You know, people are always making fun. My American friends are always making fun of me that I can't plan 6 months ahead. I can barely plan for next week. I mean professionally. So I don't think we are talking about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur yet in Israel. We are taking it one step at a time. And not only because we are Israelis, but also because there are many unknowns that we don't know. We don't know what will happen, if we'll have a second wave, if we'll have to go back in restrictions, when we will reopen the borders and flights, and if this will have an effect. So currently, all that we know is that the schools will be open in the summer for extra 9 days in July, because the students were at home, so they will be at school in July for 9 days instead of the summer holiday. But other than that, I don't think anybody knows. Obviously, there's also a possibility that there will be a vaccine or some other cure for the coronavirus. Maybe it will be easier to get back to normal then. But I think it's very hard to plan that far in advance. By the way, I know I personally am finishing my time here as a diplomat in Chicago, and I'm going back to Israel end of August. And even I don't really know the exact date of my return, and that's because I don't even know what flights I can take and if things will get back to normal. So even I personally, I'm not sure exactly on the day and the date when I'll be back in Israel.
You will be missed, I can tell you that, Maran. Okay, that's going to wrap it up for us. Our guest today has been Maran Berman, who's involved with the Council for Israel serving the Midwest. And we thank you so much for coming on and letting us know what's going on.
Thank you, Herschel. Shabbat shalom.
Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Encompass Healthcare, specializing in infectious diseases, is joining the fight against coronavirus, offering free direct telemedicine services to Oakland County residents who test positive for coronavirus and are homebound. We are on a mission to intervene with supportive care to diminish your risk of hospitalization. If you know anyone that can benefit from these services, please call 248-624-9800 immediately.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We have online, very on, a big treat, Michael Druck, the Jewish Hour Poet Laureate. Laureate, how are you today, Michael?
Thank God I'm fine. I'm having a ball. Everything's wonderful.
Good. I guess that's the best way of looking at it. You have a real good opportunity to do what you've been always planning on doing, that you haven't had the time to do it because you've been too busy doing other things.
That's right.
Indeed. So, you've been in quarantine for the better part of 2 months, or more than 2 months at this point. And
right.
The poems, how many poems have you written in the last 2 months, if you can just on the top of your head?
about 12. I wrote one this morning.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Now, so let me just ask you, generally, are they somber, or are they upbeat, or is it like a good mixture depending on the day?
Well, I have one that I wrote some time ago. It's about Shabbos, my mother. And the one I wrote this morning is, I think, is uplifting.
Okay.
And that's the way we have to go, is to uplift, because we can't let anything get in our way of what we need to accomplish.
Let's hear that one.
All right, here it is. Holy is his nation with his people arising. Holy is his nation with his people reprising words of Torah. Holy is his nation raising their voices, emulating sages with their ways and their choices. Holy is his nation, the chosen his own, ever attached to his words that are unknown. Yes, his nation waiting to see the coming of Mashiach with joy and with glee. His nation, God's nation, holy are we, children of heaven and the waves of the sea. and Torah.
Fantastic. And you just spat that out this morning after davening. That's like amazing.
No, this was 3:30 this morning.
Oh, 3:30 in the morning. I mean, you said this morning. So it was like, okay, you got up, you davened, this is when you couldn't sleep. Okay.
It happens that way a lot.
Understood. Okay, so yeah, there's a very, very upbeat. I mean, it is true that I've been telling people that things are happening now. It's just simply because this is the way God wants them to happen. I mean, we'd like to have things, you know, even with affecting our religiosity. I had your site in the last 2 months and didn't get to the synagogue to say Kaddish on behalf of my father. And just said, well, I guess my dad doesn't need my Kaddish this year because God said no. That's kind of like the way we've been approaching it. And as you said, we're taking it as it is, all in stride. Got another one for us, Michael? We got time.
Here it is. There was a time, a special time, in years once long ago, that my mother would light candles so her children would always know that being together on Shabbos was meaningful and dear, and our hearts would be together from then on and through the years. And a clock upon a wall would always remind, that memories would be forever and forevermore be mine. Oh, to have those years again and see her hands upon her face, to hear the whispered prayers of subtlety and grace. And the clock upon the wall will remind us of the time of memories forever beautiful and sublime. I can smell my mother's cooking and see the bright red wine and hear my father's kiddush always on my mind. And the clock ticking on the wall is a reminder just for me how special are our hopes and dreams and Shabbos memories. There are times we will not forget and traditions we need to save, remembrances that are part of us and things our mothers gave. And clocks upon those walls of time in unison will chime and give us things remembered to keep always in our minds and give us things remembered forever on our minds.
Wow. Fantastic. What made you think about your mom when you were that, with the impetus of writing that?
I cannot forget my upbringing and the importance that Shabbos was to my mother and my grandparents. My grandfather's name was Isaac Lurie.
Oh, really?
And we are descended. We have to be remembered. And we have to go on.
That's wonderful. That's really great. I am so glad that you took the time to take those and share those. And, of course, my semi-annual question to you is, when is the collected work of Michael Druck going to be published already? I want my signed autographed copy already.
You hear that, God? Let's go!
Well, you got to get him and send him to the printer, or send him to the publisher.
We got to find a publisher. We'll get this. We'll get this going.
Okay, God willing. Okay, we're going to call you back again, God willing. If we'll be in Yerushalayim at that time, but during the 3 weeks, we'll definitely call you back.
Okay. Thank you so much. Be well and God, keep healthy. Good luck, everyone.
You too. Take care.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, we're going to go right into our monologue as we've run out of commercials. But anyway, so this week is the portion of Bahar Bechukosai. It's found in chapter 30 and following in the book of Leviticus. In this parsha is 48 curses. And these 48 curses come 2 weeks before the holiday of Shavuos, the Pentecost, the day in which we celebrate the giving of the Torah. Likewise, there's a similar parallel that the portion of Kisava, which has 98 curses, exactly double, comes 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. So there's something about reading these curses before these two major holidays. Now, the purpose of the curses is not to curse the Jewish people. God forbid. We're not. God does not want to curse the Jewish people. And au contraire, the purpose of these two sections of the Bible are to give a heads up to the Jewish people that keeping the straight and narrow and everything will be just perfect for you. In other words, don't do what's going to cause this to happen, otherwise this will happen. That's really where the emphasis is. Okay, in Judaism, for the most part, it's not what do we do if something went wrong. For the most part, the emphasis is if you keep doing the right thing, then you won't have to worry about what happens if something if you did something wrong. If you're doing it right all the time, you got nothing to worry about. And that's what this portion really, really talks about. Okay, so the curses, again, we'll analyze those based on a story about the second Lubavitcher Rebbe when he was, I think he was 12 at the time, when normally the reader of the Torah was his father, who was the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, a great, righteous person. And he wasn't there that week, and someone else read the Torah. And when it came to the curses, so this young boy, this 12-year-old, fainted and was really sick and was really, like, out of it, such that 2.5 weeks later, there was still discussion if he could actually fast the Yom Kippur. And they asked him, what's the deal? You hear these curses before, and he said, when my father reads the Torah, I hear only blessings. Because it has to do with how one perceives what's being said. Okay? Like, for example, when I go through all 49 curses, I can just do a little, just like one. And there's the one is, or maybe two, there's, the one says that 10 women will cook in one kitchen. Now, 10 women cooking in a kitchen, it's every woman has their own style of cooking, and this one wants to do it this way, and that one wants to do it that way, and it's to have 10 women cooking in one kitchen is, it's like terrible. But you could read it just with a little emphasis on a different place, and you'd come up with 10 women will cook in one kitchen, which means no problem. 10 women, one kitchen, you know, and maybe it'll be like one of those super industrial kitchens that we're talking about. Everybody's got their own place anyway. There's another one that says that a mother will eat the flesh of her child, which just sounds really bad. That's like, oh, man, if that ever happens, God. But let's look at it a different way. The person has a child. The child grows up, moves out of the house. Okay, it's like the old joke, when does life begin? Was when the kids grow up and move out of the house, yes. And the child invites the parents over for dinner. And the child serves a roast. And the parents eat it, and they enjoy it, and they have a wonderful time. What did the parents eat? The parents ate the flesh, meaning the roast, of their children. It's a wonderful thing that when parents can be invited over to their kids' houses to eat. So here we see that which sounds like a really horrible curse is really a wonderful blessing. And that's really what the Almighty wants to do. The Almighty, especially now we're talking 2 weeks before the holiday of Passover, that, of Shavuos, that we should receive such tremendous blessings. And this is true with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's Yahrzeit, which is Lag BaOmer, which is Monday night. Jewish Ferndale will be having a virtual bonfire. It's supposed to be that we have a bonfire, and we have like a cookout, a barbecue, and we have a band, and music, people singing around. It's always been a real party time at Jewish Ferndale. This year's not going to be too much different, except it's going to be in 2D. You have to have your own hot dogs and your own beer and make your own fire. Or you could just watch the fire that we have. That's also good because we're going to make a fire. And it'll be on Facebook, on Herschel Finman's Facebook page. And that'll be Monday night at 9:15, which is Lag BaOmer. And Lag BaOmer celebrates the anniversary of the passing of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who left in his will that when he passes away, he didn't want people to mourn on his yahrzeit, on his hilul, on the anniversary of his passing, because he wasn't leaving this world until everything got finished that he needed to finish. And indeed, he redacted the Zohar. He opened up the gates of esoteric wisdom to the world and an appreciation for spirituality. And in Israel, the whole city closes down. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's grave is visited. Last year was by close to 500,000 people. This year, it's going to be 150 people at three different times, meaning 50 people each. And it's going to be divided up equally, men and women. It's three groups, and send representatives, and the grave itself area is closed off. And I remember being in Jerusalem for a Lag BaOmer, and we were staying and up in the hills and looking out over the valley and just seeing what looked like a giant conflagration, as there were bonfires all over the place. But listen, we have to do what we have to do. So everything's going to be virtual, but we'll still be celebrating Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's passing, which is the main thing. So on Monday night, on May 11th at 9:15, we will be telling stories about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. I'll tell one right now. And we will be insights into the whole holiday of Lag BaOmer. And if I get a hot dog out of the deal, I might. I don't know. We'll see what Hannah has in store for me, if we have like a weenie roast, that type of a thing. So that's going to be, again, Monday at 9:15, Monday night, May 11th, 9:15 p.m., and at Herschel Finman, Facebook Herschel Finman is the way it is. We're going to take our final commercial break, and we're going to be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and Methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community, and Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813. Or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Hey, Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. So things at Jewish Ferndale still happening. We're doing as much as we did before. It's all flat now. It's all in 2D. So if you'd like to participate in things, check out our Facebook page, which is HerschelFinman.com or Jewish Ferndale, Herschel Finman's Facebook page or the Jewish Ferndale Facebook page. You can also go to check out RabbiFinman.com for archived editions of the show and et cetera. And I'd like to bring to attention that on Sundays, Hannah Finman does teach an art lesson, and that's available. Those have been archived, actually, on my Facebook page. and they're actually wonderful. These are professional. This is top grade. This week, Symmetry, and it's something very special to take care of. And every Friday night, right before at the time of candle lighting time in Detroit, we do a virtual candle lighting. We're not lighting virtually, but the participation is virtual as we watch Hannah Finman light candles. And check us out. There's things happening all week long. Things haven't stopped. And because things haven't stopped, in fact, we're going onward and upward, we still need you to help out. So go to RabbiFinman.com and go to the donations page. Click on the number of your choice. Add a number that you want. Make it a monthly. It doesn't have to be massive to do a monthly. You can make it a monthly, and then your credit card will do it automatically. And it's all very safe, secure. Don't like internet giving? Well, understood. Send your contribution to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Okay. So there was a rabbi, a Hasidic leader of the Chernobyl dynasty. Chernobyl became famous. Everybody knows about Chernobyl because of the nuclear reactor that blew up. But before that, it was a famous center for Hasidic thought. There was the Mordechai of Chernobyl. There's Nachum of Chernobyl. So it once happened that a disciple of Rav Muttl of, that's what he's called, Mordechai, Rav Mordechai of Chernobyl was traveling, quite a wealthy man, was traveling to go visit his Rebbe for Shavuos, which is the upcoming holiday. And on the way, he noticed a person who was walking in the road, an older man, and asked him, would you like a ride? You're going this way? So he said, fine. Thank you very much. I appreciate it very, very much. So they got to talking, and the older man said, then where are you going? And he said, he's going to Chernobyl. And he says, and what are you doing in Chernobyl? He says, I'm going to see my Rebbe, my rabbi, Reb Mordechai of Chernobyl. So the old man said, you're a disciple of Matala, which saying Matala is like Matala, he's like little tiny Mordechai. Yeah, it's just like it's a term of endearment and affection that one would use for a small child. Not necessarily an insult, but not something that one would ascribe to a Hasidic Rebbe. And this man was a bit offended, but he didn't say anything. He didn't want to pursue it. He just wished the guy would just shut up. And after some time went by, he said, are you really a disciple of Matala? And he said, yeah. So the old man said to him, if you're such a disciple of Reb Muttl, you really want to show that you're a disciple, would you pay the 20 gold rubles that he owes me? And at this point, this person is like besides himself. He's like, at this point, speaking in his mind, speaking with you. And then he says he owes me money. So the guy had basically had enough, but just to shut him up, he said, if you can produce some proof that Mordechai of Chernobyl owes you money, I will pay it on your behalf, on his behalf. So the man fished around in his knapsack, and he took out a piece of paper, and it said, I, Mordechai of Chernobyl, Mordechai ben Ephraim was, owes the owner of this man, and it listed his first name, 20 gold rubles, and it was signed Mordechai of Chernobyl. So he's looking at it, maybe it's forged, maybe it's that. He said, looks real. So yeah, is this real? He says, yeah, 100%, it's real. He owes me 20 gold rubles. So the man took out 20 gold rubles and handed it to him. The old man said, thank you very much, and the rest of the way they traveled in quiet. When they came to the outskirts of Chernobyl, so the man asked, could you please let me off over here? This is as far as I want to go. So that Shavuos, the man was very elated. He was very happy to be with his Rebbe and the Torahs and the tables and the whole business over there, the whole atmosphere of being in Chernobyl with his Rebbe for Shavuos. After Shavuos, so he went into for a private audience with the rabbi. And this IOU that he had gotten from this old man, he had, you know, just absentmindedly, he had folded it up and he stuck it into his snuff box. Okay, and forgotten about it. Okay, so when he came into Reb Mordechai's room, the first thing Mordechai asked him was, have you got a bit of snuff? Which he thought was a little bit strange, but he took out his snuff box, and he opened it up, and the IOU fell out. And he remembered. He said, oh, this is Rabbi. So he told him the whole story and handed him the note. And the Rabbi answered him, this person who you picked up, yes, I did owe him 20 gold rubles. And I have taken upon him to give him 20 gold rubles. If you could bring the music up underneath me, Tony, that would be great. I have taken upon to give this man 20 gold rubles every year. And you should know that he was one of the 36 hidden tzaddikim that the world rests upon, relies upon for their righteousness. And you had the opportunity of giving him 20 gold rubles. Consider it a merit. I don't know if Mordechai paid him back the 20, but I think the guy said, no, it's okay, it's mine. Because every year when this man would come for Shavuos, he would leave 20 gold rubles with the Rebbe to pay this man. That's going to do it. We hope you had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. Happy Lag BaOmer. We'll see you on Monday night. And check out our other things on Facebook at Herschel Finman. Have a great week. Take care.